Creation is amazing. It's astounding. As near as we can tell, there's about 10 billion galaxies out there, and each of those galaxies has more or less 100 billion stars, which means that there are a billion trillion stars out there. That's 21 zeros after that one. It's an astounding number. And the sun, our sun, you know, just one of the stars among many, a pretty ordinary star, burns about 11 billion pounds of hydrogen a second. And has been doing it for 5 billion years. And is going to be doing it for another 5 billion years. It's astounding that something like that exists. And on the smaller scale, one female oyster, in a season, lays about 100 million eggs. If they all came to fruition, we'd be up to our yayas in oysters, right? But to me, the most astonishing thing about creation is that our species, Homo sapiens, in a mere 10,000 years, has moved from hitting mastodons over the head with a rock to flying to the moon. You see, there's a difference between us and the rest of creation. We can choose what we're going to do. A star is going to shine. The sun is going to burn. An oyster is going to oist. I don't know. Whatever oysters do. But see, we can make a different choice in our life. We can choose life or we can choose death. We can choose how we are going to live. And I wonder if we can't look at the Bible as an instruction manual on how to make the choices that are going to help us be alive, help us to truly be human. Take our Old Testament lesson today. We have Joshua. He's entered into the promised land. The people have come into their home. And he says today, you have to make a choice. Decide. Are you going to decide for God or not? And here's the reason you should decide for God, because look at all the wonderful things God has done for you. God has led you out of slavery into this promised land. So make your choice. You're going to decide for God, or are you going to choose one of those other gods? And it seems choice was pretty clear. But I suspect that maybe the reason it was a genuine choice is because it really was not that obvious a choice. Because if you think about it, yes, God had that miraculous deliverance of the people out of slavery through the Red Sea into the promised land. But there was also a truckload of suffering in the meantime. They were 40 years wandering in the desert. And yes, God gave them the great miracle of the manna. Well, they needed the miracle of the manna because they were starving to death. So there is certainly wonderful things God has done for us. But there's also a lot of pain and suffering. So this is not a mathematical deduction that we're making when we're making a choice for God. This is a risk that we're taking. We're saying, I am going to risk that the love, the mercy, the kindness of God that I have experienced is more important than the suffering that I've had to go through in this life. I'm going to choose for God because I'm going to trust in the love. And I think that ultimately is what lies behind St. Paul today in his epistle to the Ephesians when he's telling them, you know, if you want to know what your choice is all about. It's about learning to live in God's love. That's what we're choosing, really. We're choosing to live in God's love. I saw a recent Gallup poll. It says that there are more believers today in the United States, more people who believe in the United States than there were 30 years ago. Well, if there are more believers, we're certainly not seeing much evidence of it, are we? What's going on? How come if we have all these believers that we aren't seeing a reflection of that? My suspicion is it's because what it means to believe, what it means to say, I have chosen God, I have decided for God, doesn't impact the way that we live. You know, we have this values that are held up to us by society. You know, get ahead, make yourself comfortable, take care of number one, and then we have gospel values. And so when we're saying, I choose for God, we're actually choosing how we're going to live, what is valuable to us, what's important to us. Choosing for God is not something that we have that we can just hold into our hearts, you know, like I'm going to root for the Cubs or I'm going to root for the White Sox. It determines how we shape our lives. And that's what St. Paul wants us to understand. If we're going to be people who choose for God, then we're choosing to live in God's love and act in God's love. But that's easier said than done, because it's not always clear about what that means. How am I supposed to be choosing to live in God's love? You know, am I supposed to stay in this marriage, which is causing me all sorts of distress and pain? How am I supposed to respond to someone who has hurt me terribly? What am I supposed to do when I keep hearing all of these reports about abuse that happened in the church? And what can I do about poverty and homelessness and hunger, violence? It's not always obvious and clear. And I think sometimes when we reach that point, what am I supposed to do? We can kind of get frozen into inactivity. We don't know what choices to make, and so we don't make a choice. We get stuck. And it's at that point, I think, that we have to remember that the basic choice, the most fundamental choice, is not the one that we make, but it's the one that God makes. You see, God has made a choice, and God has chosen you, and God has chosen me. And once we have that understanding, once we realize that God has chosen us, well, then things become a little easier. Because we realize that my choice is, in fact, a reflection of God's choice for me. God has chosen me, and so I can take that risk. I can take that chance of faith, because I know no matter what, God is always faithful. God is always there. God has chosen to be mine. So ultimately, church, this day when we're asked to make a choice, we're not being asked to choose about this, that, or the other thing, because every choice, in fact, is not a choice about that, but it's a choice about who we are and whose we are. Amen.